Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies like CBD can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am here with Dave DeVilius. He is a home inspector and the owner of Greater Philadelphia Home Solutions. And it's not really a person you would expect to be on a healthcare podcast, but you're going to learn why in just a few minutes. But I'm so excited for this episode. Near and dear to me, we've probably known each other our whole lives. We grew up on the same street, and I'm so happy to have you here today. Dave, welcome.
Thanks so much. I appreciate being here, Courtney.
It's been 42, 43 years that we've known each other, at least.
I know, right? So awesome. And it's funny how I put a post up on social media last week and Dave commented on it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like he's a home inspector and he sees all kinds of stuff. And this is the stuff that, you know, when we see things like mold in a household that's hidden behind walls and pipes in bathrooms, and it can really wreak havoc on people. And, you know, it was just funny how we connected with this. And I'm like, this is a great thing for people to hear, because if you don't know, you don't know. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And likewise, like when this comes out, it's going to get shared on my social media and people are going to be like, oh, wow, the home inspector is talking to somebody in the healthcare field. This is not something normal. So this is, I think it's something that should happen more often.
Agreed. So, all right, talk to me. Tell our guests a little bit about your background, but how did you get into home inspections? And, you know, I know you have a story, so tell it.
So I've got a pretty extensive background in public safety and in the military. I was a military medic for 25 years through the Air National Guard here in PA. And I've been a firefighter since 1993. I started that when my dad was already in. And my civilian job was a 911 dispatcher until 2017. And I retired out to become a home inspector. I went through some life changes and I gave up an absolutely amazing career, wonderful career, been there forever, and gave it all up to spend more time with my children and go through those life changes. And I wanted to pick a career that I could do myself, where I could actually afford that time with my children and still be involved with the community. And, you know, I started looking through, like, Forbes has their list of entrepreneurships and, you know, all these cell phone businesses, and none of them really seemed right until I got to home inspections, where I actually get to go out and take a look at somebody's home before they buy it or before they sell it, and start looking at all the different hidden problems that could be, you know, found in any of those homes, whether it's health safety, life safety, or something that could, you know, potentially kill the deal on the purchase. But it lets me meet new people every week and get a little bit involved in somebody else's life and help them out. So I love doing it.
That's awesome. And you have your own story with home inspections, right? You have kind of almost not really what got you into it totally, but you have your own story of what happened with your own house.
So, yeah, it was right before I had actually purchased my business. We bought a house. I wasn't yet licensed. And about a year after being at the house, now I'm already working as an inspector, we had our entire sewer line collapse. And it was about 175 feet of line. There were a lot of factors at play, but, you know, the total cost was over $40,000 to fix it. Insurance wouldn't cover it. So there was a lot of things. My mother had actually helped me out for a little bit. And it caused us, when we found out what the root cause was, to have to go into a lawsuit that spanned over 7 years. And it was stressful. Would have been an improvement on it. But since we're talking health today, definitely got a little bit more gray hair out of that. But, you know, it also prompted me to start doing sewer line inspections and getting certified to do that. And, you know, as things evolved, you know, we start doing more different, more ancillary types of services for clients on health and safety. You know, with my background, we've incorporated CPR and first aid into what we do, offering that to clients and agents. But recently, probably about the last 2 years, we started getting into air quality testing and surface sampling for mold, working with one of the labs over in New Jersey. And it's become a very big hit topic because there's so, you know, mold is everywhere we go. It's in the air that we breathe outside. It's, you know, what people don't realize is it's not the end all sale for buying a home, but especially when you're looking at different ages of homes, different systems, how people live in their houses, if they're doing healthy living and changing filters, things like that. All those things can factor into the creation and substantiation of mold and fungus. And it can cause some serious health issues.
It can, and it does. And I know, I mean, I have my own story, and I see this all of the time with my clients when we physically run labs and we're looking at people's urine and seeing, you know, what's buried in people's, you know, bodies. And, you know, for me, to make a long story short, I've been exposed to mold my whole life, really. When I think back to the childhood house I grew up in, we lived, it was an older damp house over a crawl space. You know, even then, even now, doctors in you know, traditional medicine don't talk about it. It's more of a functional topic, but, you know, not that my parents knew or that, I mean, obviously I was a child, but I had chronic ear infections. I had chronic strep throat. I had my tonsils removed when I was in my early 20s, just endometriosis, things that I never related, anxiety, things that I never related to it. But, you know, that was my early childhood. And then as an adult, every workplace that I've been in, especially one that I've been in for the past 10 years, had an incredible amount, the old French drains in the basement floor where, you know, I would just walk in the door and my face would light up like a Christmas tree. I would just have constant, you know, post-nasal drip and my eyes would be glassy. And it wasn't until just a few years ago that I've, you know, as a pharmacist, have gotten out of the traditional space and more into the functional space, that I learned how to do this lab testing and how to actually, you know, eradicate it from the body, and how just I've seen so many different things in my own health shift as I've gotten myself out of that environment. And then on top of that, have done different protocols to help detox my body from the mold. And I mean, when I tell you my brain fog got so bad, I didn't understand what brain fog was until I had it, when I sat down to work and construct emails and things that I just couldn't almost put two and two together, like very, very hard that I was struggling as a pharmacist doing this. Like it was bad. And I had no idea what it was. And it took me going through my own career shift to find my own, you know, ailment and adjust it. So, and then I see it all the time with my clients when we dive in and we run labs and we see people that have, you know, this, you know, we say quote unquote seasonal allergies when people have a histamine release, or, you know, whether it's chronic fatigue, brain fog, anxiety, people losing hair, the alarming rate of people that are coming to me, women, not just, you know, oh, it's men in their, you know, in their 50s losing hair. Like, no, like women are coming to me. Yeah. Like with hair loss, hey, my hair is thinning. I don't understand. Like some pretty thing, like people's bodies are screaming for help, and it's, you know, it's mold, it's heavy metals. Our world's a toxic one and we're exposed to it. And like you said, it's not the end all be all. There's mold we have needed to make when we're our coffee, things that we're experienced and hitting mold in every aspect of our lives. But when it gets to the point where you're in, where something can be infested, and also, like, what are your other factors? What are genetics? What other exposure do you have? Because, I mean, my son has been in the same house and living conditions with me for the past, you know, 17 years. He doesn't experience it, you know, even, you know, just in general, even my family, when I growing up, like people react different to different things. So it doesn't affect everybody in the same way, depending on an immune system or something like that. And I'm sure you've seen this with some of your clients.
I have. And, you know, when I take a look at what I'm trying to take in everything you just said, too, because I've gone through so much of the same thing. You know, we kind of got, I hate saying that we got lucky, because it's unfortunate when we find a major health issue. But one of the things that's actually helped propel our business in air quality has been some of those unfortunate cases where we have somebody that's referred over that we run, you know, a test on what's going on in their home. And we find out the thing that we don't want to find out, like, oh, wow, there's somebody, you know, that's actually suffering in this house because of, you know, toxic mold or fungus exposure. You know, those are the things I don't want to see. Like, I don't want to have that happen. And I love to be proven wrong. Right. I want to be proven wrong every time I go out. Like, I want to be like, hey, this basement is dark. It's damp. There's stuff growing on the wall and it's just a regular mushroom. And, you know, sometimes we find out that, you know, that there's been those health risks. Like, we found people that have had keratitis where their hair is falling out, where they've had loss of pigmentation in their skin, chronic respiratory issues. You know, like, we're not exactly the young folks anymore, you and I, but, you know, when, you know, we expect that we're going to have some of these, you know, projected health issues as we get older. But when we're seeing those types of issues in somebody that's, you know, 10 years old or, you know, 15 years old or even younger, those are concerning. You know, those are things that can have lifelong repercussions if they're not found and treated. And the thing is that, like I said, I mean, we breathe mold wherever we go. It's when we're looking at a house, we're looking to see, okay, well, what's our normal amount of mold and fungus outside of the home versus what's inside? And that's really what our air quality does, is it determines, it's exactly what it is. It determines the quality of the air circulating within the home compared to what's outside. So the test is, you know, and if you want me to go into what we do with that, then
yes,
that I can.
Please do. I think it's important. I mean, you can geek out on it. Yeah, I think it's important for people to know these things because I think it, you know, it determines a whole lot.
It does. And, you know, the testing that the primary test that we do is called an air quality. And I guess the best way to explain it to you and your viewers and your listeners is the same way I would explain it to a client. First question is, why would we do one? So there's a number of factors that we look at. Number one is, does the house have central air and central heat? Because ductwork is a primary route of travel for anything. If we have a finished basement where that HVAC system is, I mean, that's not a primary indicator to do a mold test or an air quality. But what if it's an unfinished basement or if it's an unconditioned area? Meaning if your heating and air conditioning system is in an area where there's no circulated air, you know, is that going to accumulate dampness? Is it going to accumulate the potential for mold and fungus? You know, the number one thing people get worried about is the term black mold, you know, and the weird thing is black mold isn't always black. Black mold can be white. It can be green. It can be brown. It could be any variation of color. When we look at things like black mold, it's like labeling the aluminum tape as duct tape. If it's a metal type of tape, it's duct tape, right? If it's black, if it's ugly, then it's black mold. But that's not necessarily the case. So when we look at it, I look at a number of factors. Are you buying or living in a home that has an unfinished basement? Was your house built before a certain time period? You know, we recommend it 100% of the time on houses built before 1980 with unfinished basements. You know, are there reasons to think that you might need it? Like, you know, what I normally tell people, we try to educate people on their HVAC, is if you have central heat, central air, if you're seeing all the dust and debris around your vents, then number one is you probably need to change your filter. You're probably months past needing to change your filter. We can reduce the risk of mold and fungus by changing your filter every 90 days at a minimum. And if you have dogs or cats, probably every 45 to 60 days, because everything that's circulating through the air is going through that return ductwork back to your venting system, back to your heating system, and recirculating. Some other reasons we recommend it: if you have small children that have health disorders or elderly that have health disorders that are living or moving in, then yeah, you should get it done. So what, you know, the next thing is, all right, now we've kind of looked at, all right, we have unfinished basements, we have central heat, central air. If we have a lot of windows open all the time, things of that nature. If you know you're in a high, an area that's prone for high levels of radon, and we think about radon being a, you know, that's not a mold, it's just an inert gas, but anything above like that Virginia to Los Angeles line of the country is the highest levels of radon in the country. And radon is just a gas that comes up through the soil bed. It's a broken down form of uranium, but not radioactive, but it is a toxic type of gas over time. So if that's able to come up through that soil bed, could mold and fungus spores be part of that equation also? And the answer is yes.
I love that you just said that. Like, for the seats in the back, did you just hear what Dave just said? Like, repeat that. It comes from the soil and what?
Yeah, it comes up through the soil bed. And if radon can come through there, so can anything else. So can mold and fungus. My last house before the one I'm living in now, our foundation had concrete block walls, like the cinder block walls. Mm-hmm. People always wonder why it gets so like humid and damp. And you know that smell you get in that unfinished basement, that wet smell, like a wet rag smell? That tends to happen in those basements because of that type of foundation. Cinder block or concrete block, it's very porous. The mortar that's used to hold it is very good, but it was never meant to keep moisture out. It's meant to keep the foundation stable. So, you know, you don't have a lot of air movement down there, even though it is a porous type of block. And without having that circulated air, it's a breeding ground for moisture and fungus. And, you know, we talk about mold in a broad term. It's not really the you know, when we talk about mold, we should be taking the word mold out of the equation. And 99% of it, it's a fungus. It's not even, you know, the labeled term of mold, but everything that we test for is a different type of fungus in the area or in the environment. Our air quality, we're testing for a test for around 20 different types of mold or fungus. And there are things we expect to find in homes. There's things that we don't expect to find in homes too. Like when I sold my old house, before my buyers came in to buy it, I did an air quality on my own house. I'm like, hey, I already knew I had mold in the basement. We had it treated, but it still looks bad. Let me get the air quality done. And it actually popped up with a couple of molecules of like a type of mold or fungus that's primarily found in Scotland. And wow. And I'm like, really? How did this get in there? And, you know, like, I've never been to Scotland. Like, how did this track? And, you know, when I called our lab, they're like, well, you know, you do go through an awful lot of houses in your job. You probably tracked something in at some point. But, you know, I'm like, do I need, you know, this was when I first, you know, was thinking about doing this. And they're like, listen, you don't have to worry about it. It's like one raw molecule of this fungus. It's not an outbreak. So, you know, when we do these tests, it's very confusing for our clients because we're sending them a lab report and they're seeing things that either say, yep, it's perfectly fine, or you might have some slightly elevated levels of this or that, or it might be really elevated. And nobody knows what that means because, like, if it says it's acceptable, great, everything's fine. The moment something is slightly elevated, you're worried about everybody in the house getting sick, right?
Yeah, 100%. And not to cut you off, but yeah, that's what I do. When I run my labs, I'm looking at what's going on in people's bodies. So it's when the mold or the fungus becomes a mycotoxin. And this is where you see the symptoms happen. And it's like, okay, to what level is it in the body? But,
And I'm glad you brought that up because mycotoxins are not inherent in several. It's actually mycotoxin production is in the ones that we test. It's only really found in like four or five different types of the multiple types of mold. You know, a lot of the different molds and fungus don't have mycotoxin production as a major issue. Like those ones that are prone to that, our lab results even have like the little biohazard symbol that go on it that say, yep, this has the potential of producing mycotoxin. But the majority of the mold and fungus that we find is actually large quantities of what is normally in your ambient air, like Aspergillus, Penicillium, Basidiospores, you know, those types of common things that we find. The thing that makes it uncommon is when it's really, really high. So when we test, we put canisters in different areas of the home and outside. So a standard test, we use four canisters on the air quality. And we do our first test outside because that gives us a baseline of what's in the ambient air. And the canisters are smaller than the size of my palm. And this is where I explain to people and they're like, oh, wow. They pull in 150 liters of air in 10 minutes. So this little tiny canister, it's less the size of my palm. if you think about it, everybody's seen a 2 liter bottle of soda. This pulls in 75 2 liter bottles worth of air.
Wow.
So that's where you're looking for that visual. Like I could say 150 liters, but when I say 75 2 liter bottles of air, like you're like, oh my God, that's a lot of Diet Coke, right? And each canister pulls that in over 10 minute periods. So we typically test those on the outside. We'll test one in the basement, whether it's unfinished or finished. And then we typically do one in a common area, like a transition between a living room and kitchen. And we'll do one in a master bedroom. And if somebody needs additionals, then we do them wherever else they want us to do them. But what we're really looking for with that is what's the most commonly trafficked areas of a home? You know, typically your master bedroom is going to be the most used bedroom in the home. And your transition points are going to be your most common areas. The least common area traveled, unless you got a finished basement, is probably your basement, right? So we want to make sure that we test in those areas. And the placement of those canisters is critical also. Like outside, I don't care. Outside's outside. If we know we have central heat, central air, we try to put it near the ductwork to see if there's anything coming through. And one of the cases that we had a few years ago was that we went to a house. They thought they might be having a problem. So we did an air quality. And we ran it right underneath one of the ductwork areas. And it produced a result that was, you know, when we look at slightly elevated levels, I'm not too worried about slightly elevated. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not worried about it, because if we find a raw count of Aspergillus of like 30 on an outside, and the lab test shows that there's 31 inside, that's gonna say it's slightly elevated. So is a one raw count molecule really something to get upset about? Not so much, not in the grand scheme. But if I'm seeing a raw count of like 300 or 400. And it's saying that it's very elevated, then yeah, we know there's a problem. And what people get concerned with is, well, I just paid money to do this. Now I have to pay money to do this. Now I have to pay money to do that. It's the same as any type of health testing. You're trying to diagnose the problem. And, you know, the closer you get to pinpointing it, the better off you are. So we did that at that house, and we got them in touch with a duct cleaning service. And when that cleaning service came out, we took a swab of the inside of the ductwork and sent that out for analysis, and found out that there was high levels of Aspergillus in the home to in the thousands, in the tens of thousands. And it was causing people in the home to get very ill, hospitalized, loss of hair. There was a lot of immune system compromise. And, you know, what if we had not been there to do that? You know, how much worse could that have been?
So if I could have every person hear this, like exactly what you just said, and, you know, taking this full circle and saying like, these are the people that are coming to me. These are the people that are not getting answers from their doctors, and they're feeling these odd symptoms. Like you just said, all these autoimmune and immune system issues, inflammation, chronic fatigue, hair loss, anxiety, all these things that are like really becoming so quote unquote the norm with people in the world, where they're not getting answers. This is where they come to me. And like you said, they don't want to spend money because they've spent money on all these other things, and they don't want to spend money on the functional labs to see what's going on in their bodies and to get this stuff out. But a lot of times what happens is, you know, almost even circling back to what you said about, you know, we get to this age, and it gets to the age where we're, you know, we hit our 40s, and it's like, okay, we have hormonal imbalances. Oh, you know, as a woman, we're going through perimenopause. We're having these symptoms. Oh gosh, it's our hormones. But I always take people to take a step back to what you just said. Like, why? Why? You don't just turn 40 and all of a sudden your body stops working. We're constantly exposed to these toxins. And you are literally saying how common it is when you go out and run these tests and you're like, here's the data. Look, I just swabbed it. Look, yep. It's right here. And people still ignore it and turn a blind eye and want just, oh, can you give me a supplement to fix my hair or to get rid of this? I need more energy. And it's like, people don't understand that they need to detox their bodies. And, you know, we can't live in a bubble. We can't get rid of everything totally. There's stuff, like you said, coming up from the soil. Toxins are ever present in our world. And we can do things you know, have a home inspector come out and to make sure our air quality is okay. We can hire somebody like me to look at labs and get you on a good supplement regimen and make sure you're doing all the right things. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like knowing that we're exposed to these things and what we need to do to prophylactically, you know, make ourselves healthy or detox from it maybe every 6 months, every year, doing things to get rid of it. Because what happens is in my world is when people are exposed to things chronically, mold, heavy metals, and things that build up in the body, that's where things like parasites, another thing that we don't talk about in regular traditional medicine, we act like they don't exist. But if you have a pulse, you have a parasite. And that's like a breeding ground. Like that's where parasites like to live. They like the mold. They like the heavy metals. They like to bury themselves. That's where they're happy. So then we look at that. And then we look at where all these symptoms are coming from. And it's like right now, the amount of people that come to me because their hair is thinning, losing, or secondary. They come to me because they have X, Y, Z wrong. But 90%+ of my customers and potential customers complain of hair thinning. And for, you know, men and women alike, but you know, for a woman, alarmingly, like, I don't understand, like where you literally can see the thinning, where they're like, I'm losing clumps of hair in the shower, you know, all these things. And it's like, this is where it comes from. And I can't stress it enough to people. This is why people's health is off, because of these underlying things going on, that it's not just, oh, we turned 40. It's not just, oh, you know, things just shift and things happen. It's happening for a reason. And this is a big part of it. And people don't address these things and they don't want to take the time, effort, or money to address them. But you can't feel good unless you get rid of these things. And, you know, like you said, it's all ages. You know, people see kids suffering from things, whether it's something that's a breathing issue or hair loss or something that's super, super apparent, or whether it's something that people just get, kids just get labels like ADHD, you know, autism, all these things that are happening. They're all from toxins. And people just, okay, we just put a label on it, or we put a kid on a prescription and we're like, okay, this is what's going on. But it's kind of like taking that step back and being like, what is really going on in the world? And what's happening? What's that shift? You know, I mean, you were saying too, what's the youngest age you saw something in a 4-year-old, did you tell me earlier?
Yeah. In a 4-year-old. And, you know, like, and that's what I was about to get into also, is like some of these common household, you know, and I'd say like the common household molds and fungus, you know, when I look at it, cause I'm looking at one of my lab reports as we're talking, you know, sometimes hay fever and asthma is just hay fever and asthma. Right. Sometimes, you know, a sinusitis could just be sinusitis, but these are also things that in high amounts of things like cladosporium and basidiospores and aspergillus, hay fever is a big thing. You know, type 1 allergies are a big thing with cladosporium, which we find in a lot of homes, you know, edema, keratitis, pulmonary infections. If they're unexplainable, you know, if a doctor is not able to tell you what's causing this, then it's like you said earlier, you know, are a lot of doctors looking at that mold and fungus aspect of in a home? You know, we always recommend, so I'm different than other home inspectors. I'm a special case. You know, when I say I'm special.
You are special, Dave.
I am definitely special.
I love you.
I tend to look at things a little differently because, you know, I've got a background in the fire service. I've got a background in the medical field, and I constantly look at ways that we can fix problems. You know, that's home inspectors were just kind of like the guys that say, here's your problem, here's who you call. But are there simple things we can do to reduce the risk of that? You know, for that 4-year-old that we had a few years ago, is that somebody that is going to have a lifelong effect of health issues because of not getting this done if we don't do anything? So, you know, being a parent as well as a professional, how could I in good conscience not tell somebody like, yep, this is what I think you need to be doing? So when we look at those areas of the homes that are damp, where's the most unconditioned areas of a home? It's going to be your attic and your basement, right? Unless it's a garage, because, you know, that's some guy's man caves, right? But typically it's going to be your attics and your basements. So when we see somebody that's got a damp or a wet basement, what's the normal thing everybody says? Oh, just get a dehumidifier, you know? And, You know, I learned this the hard way in my old house. Yeah, you can get a dehumidifier, but if it's not hooked up to a drainage, you got to go empty the bucket every day. And, you know, you forget to empty that bucket for like a week because you don't think about it. But at one point in my old house, we were emptying the bucket 3 times a day.
Wow, that's insane.
And it was a 5-gallon bucket.
That's
an insane amount of humidity in an unfinished basement. What I typically tell people is make sure you're buying a HEPA filter. Get a filtration system in your basement besides a dehumidifier, because mold, people think like, you know, if I was going to ask you like, oh, if you see a spot on the wall, what do you do to treat it? You bleach it, you scrub it, and it's done, right?
And you think because you can't see it that it's not there.
Right. If it's not there, and everybody says bleach kills everything. So the problem is that when people do that, it actually spreads those spores through the air. You're scrubbing that, you're bringing something coarse to that area, and it is literally just going to spread it throughout the air. It's going to kill a good amount, but now you're spreading the problem. It's like itching poison ivy. What's it going to do? You're just going to spread it further up your arm the more you scratch.
Yes. So while we have very different careers and backgrounds, it both comes back to the same thing. You've got to treat something from the root cause. If you don't get
exactly.
it, right? If you don't get it from the ducts where it's originating, if you don't get it from its source and just think that you can spot treat something, or I just saw something somebody posted on Instagram that had severe mold toxicity, her and her children. And it was like, they bought this beautiful home and they didn't realize that the people that caulked in the bathroom with a dark color caulk, so they couldn't see it. And, you know, and there were just all these hidden things that when they actually went behind the walls and started to really see it, like it was infested and they were so, so sick from it. So, you know, it's like, if you don't treat it from the root, you think you can spot treat and you think just because you see it, it's not there. But it's just like in the body, you know, if you don't look for it, or you don't know what you're looking for, or you don't hit it from the root, that's where the stuff happens. And I can
exactly,
you know, and I feel like, you know, let me blow your mind for a second. So like, we look at things like seasonal allergies and you were like, okay, you know, like, it could just be hay fever or just be sinusitis, which
sometimes hay fever is an outdoor thing. It doesn't necessarily mean it's an indoor.
There's people can be allergic to all things, right? Like inside, outside, whatever. But I take that a step deeper to say, like, why are people allergic to things? Why do people develop allergies, or why do people allergic to things from birth, or like what happens? So basically what happens is our immune system, like 70 to 80% of our immune system lives in the gut. So what happens is when we're exposed to these oxidative stressors, and that can be anything from mold, heavy metals, things that are in the environment, pollutants, plastic, microplastics we're breathing in the air that come from our water bottles, our food's wrapped in it, there's pesticides, preservatives, all of the personal care products that we use that have fragrances and hormone disruptors, and all these things that we have in our life that we can make choices. And then there's things that we just can't control, right? That are just in the environment, that are just going to be around, and we have a healthy functioning liver and hope for the best, right? And we could do all these tips and tricks and things to help detox our bodies. But when we take it back down to like the source and we look at it from like, well, where do allergies come from? Why do some people have gluten intolerances and allergies and dairy? Why can some people not tolerate these things? And what it comes down to is leaky gut and all these oxidative stressors. So all of these things that affect our bodies, they affect our gut. And what they do is we have, you know, our gut looks like this. So for people that can't see me, it's like tight junctures, and I'm holding my fingers together, like tight junctures. And that's what our gut is supposed to be like. Things that we take into our body is supposed to be like encapsulated in there. But when we have these things that kind of tear away at the lining, whether they're things that we make bad choices, dietary products, whatever, or just natural environmental things, and the junctures start to get like this. And when that happens, things that are supposed to be in our gut go out of our gut. And that's where our immune systems are like, hey, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be here. And then they flare up. That's where people can get histamine release. And a lot of times this gets mistaken for people as a seasonal allergy. It gets mistaken as asthma. It gets mistaken as, oh, all of a sudden now I turned whatever and I'm allergic to shellfish, or, you know, I can only have like a scoop of ice cream, but if I have a bowl of ice cream, I'm in the bathroom for, you know, 3 hours. And it's like our when our immune system, when that gut is not nurtured properly and all these things are disrupting it, this is where the stuff comes out and this is where the symptoms happen. So this is where, if you're not in your line of work, if people aren't taking care of the things from the source and they're habitually affecting their immune system, affecting their gut microbiome, this is where the allergies happen and the disease happens. And like you said, is it a four-year-old who's going to have a lifelong, you know, strand of health issues because of being exposed to this at such an early age?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny, all the stuff you're mentioning, it's some of it's stuff that I'm dealing with now in my late 40s, saying, you know, oh, well, why do I have a dairy intolerance at this point? Not that everybody needs to know that, but does it mean I'm going to stop eating eggs and drinking milk? No, I'm still going to eat it. And you and I are going to talk offline about how to make it a little more comfortable. But when it comes down to when we're talking about, how mold and fungus affects the body, it's not just, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. It's not just the allergy factor and the histamine release in the gut. It has an adverse effect on every system in your body if it's not treated. When we see some of these medical cases that pop up of people with brain infections, with nervous system malfunctions now. And, you know, funguses are, you know, we talk about infections. I think the modern day and age, we kind of put it more in the tech aspect. It's like a computer virus of your body. If you don't take care of the nuisance virus becomes a long-lasting, debilitating thing, and it'll affect multiple systems. One of the molds that you were talking earlier about, molds that produce mycotoxin. So Alternaria is one of those that does have mycotoxin production, and it's something we do see in different homes here and there. That people, you know, if I tell people they've got mold in their house, that's really all they need to know, you know, as far as like, okay, is it good mold? Is it bad mold? Or am I going to get sick? Like, what's the deal here? Is it the dangerous type? Like, everybody wants to know, is it that black mold? Most of the time it's not. But like I said, if you leave it unchecked and untreated, then it starts compounding. And what started off as a little bit of hay fever or the sniffles now turns into, oh, you need a CT scan because this has been going on for months and now it's just getting worse. And with the day and age we're in, you know, it's easy for everybody to say, you know what, it's probably just COVID, right? It's like, all right, I got the bug. It's probably like my fifth round of COVID. I've had COVID four times. So every time I get a little sick, I'm like, that's probably just COVID again. You know, you get used to it. But, you know, with what we see in the homes, especially, in those higher amounts of those main ones, Basidiospores, Alternaria, Aspergillus, Penicillium, Cladosporium, those are the big hitters. Cladosporium is not a very common household fungus, but a lot of these are attached to wood and moist areas. So people wonder, like, oh, well, how did that track in? Well, you walk from your car to your house, you know, is the simplest way of saying it. So I used to think people that kick their shoes off at the door, like, oh, they're just the knee freaks. And, you know, they just, you don't want to track dirt. And anymore now, you know, like, we don't walk around in our shoes in our home. And we vacuum,
it's not just about the dirt.
Yeah, we vacuum and swiffer our entryway to our home like 3-4 times a week, just to make sure that area is nice and clean. Because it's those things that can, you know, and I'm not saying everybody needs to do it that much, but you want to make sure you're living in a clean home. You want to make sure that things are wiped down, especially in those areas you don't go into that often. Even those bedrooms, like, you know, we have a guest room in our house. Nobody sleeps in there unless we have company over. You know, but once a month or twice a month now, we go in and we clean it up.
It's true.
You know, one of another, I think we talked a little bit about it earlier, is we always try to tell people, make sure you're changing your filters on your HVAC system. If you ask five home inspectors, they're going to give you five different answers. I take mine directly from the horse's mouth, from professionals in the HVAC industry and every book out there that tells you what to do. I tell people, change your filters out every 90 days. If you have dogs or cats or pets at home that can shed, change them out every 45 to 60 days. Now, the big misconception is, you know, if you go to one of the major hardware stores, they're going to tell you, oh, come over here. This is our best filter. This is the thickest one we have. And I tell people, don't buy the thick ones. You don't even bother with it. Every HVAC person I've talked to says the same thing. Number one, HVAC filters do not keep out COVID. They don't really protect from that at all. But the thicker the filter, the harder it makes your system work. So that HVAC system. So if you're going to be replacing it every 45 to 60 days anyway, go on, get on Amazon, go buy a 10 pack or a 12 pack, and you're good for the next year.
Yeah.
In the day and age of technology, I always say, do as I say, not as I do, because I'm a habitual offender. I wait for 180 days to change my own filter. Not that anybody else on this podcast would ever do that.
certainly not me.
No. Every 30 days, right?
It's something that definitely slips by, all of the things that are in life, and it's like, oh gosh, sometimes it's like, yeah, I forget. It was like 2 times ago when I changed it. I was like, I couldn't even believe it was, definitely 6 months had gone by. And I was
when you pulled that out, it's probably the dirtiest thing you've ever seen too.
It was.
I tell people, everybody's got an Android or an iPhone, plug a reminder in for every 90 days.
That's what I started doing.
Yep. And, there's cool things with, I like to say sometimes being a home inspector, I get some cool toys and stuff to give out. When we do a home inspection for somebody buying a home, we give them online home management software and it builds those reminders in there for them. So they get an email, they get a text message every time that 90 days is up. The software that we give one of our clients is actually giving them reminders. Other things in your home that you don't think about, water heaters. Those you can get mold and fungus building up inside the draft tubes or what we call the flue covers. If you have a gas fired water heater, that nice little hood right on top of it, the exhaust, those tend to get damp after a while, even though there's combustion going through. You want to make sure that you have your what they call the temperature pressure valve, that big stem that comes off the side of your water heater. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that's not leaking for a number of reasons. It is a safety thing in there, but if it starts leaking, you're probably overpressured on your water system. But if it's dripping and it's leaking, what's it doing in your basement? Especially if you have the finished basement and somebody installed it right over the carpet, right? So you have all those factors that go in. Your heating and air conditioning system, sump pump areas. Sump pumps, people think they're supposed to be dry. They're not. You actually want to have a little bit of water in there to keep everything functioning properly. You talked about French drains earlier. French drains are an amazing invention. They definitely help keep our basements from staying completely wet. But if you're going to have a French drain, you have to think about those different engineering controls like dehumidifiers, definitely HEPA filters. Whether you have somebody in the house that's immunocompromised or not, keep the spores where they need to be. Keep that problem where it needs to be, instead of traveling upward within the home. And definitely, don't bleach the spots. Get a hold of somebody like me that can come out to sample it. And because, like I said, it's like, all right, do I go to Home Depot and drop $30 on a cleaning solution or do I pay $150 to have it tested? Most people would say, I'll just go to Home Depot and do it. I would tell you, spend the $150 to have it tested or spend a couple hundred dollars to have the air quality done, because that $30 bottle may just be a $30 issue, but it could also be a thousands of dollars issue within the home that is not able to be seen. That's how mold and fungus spreads.
And, I love that you just said all this, and I love that you gave everybody practical tools and tips that they can actually incorporate and not just, oh, here's a problem without solutions. But I think the most important thing is, and I see this all the time, and it's unfortunate, and I don't have a solution, but finances. I feel like when people sit down and have something that's chronically wrong with them, and they sit down and I tell them exactly what most likely is going on, we need to run labs and see what's going on. Just like if you went to your doctor and your arm hurt, the doctor's going to do labs and do an x-ray or do whatever it is that's going to help. And when I say to people, okay, you're feeling this not because you turned 40 and your hormones are shifting, something's going on in your body that's off and we need to find it, and then I can fix it for you. We can get out what's bad. We can put in what you're lacking. We can see what's off and then we can work at it. And people habitually won't spend the money to fix the problem at its source, But they want to, okay, well, I'll just spend this money on supplements. And it's like, well, they're not going to work if you're not doing the other stuff. So it kind of feels like it's encouraging people to spend the extra $150 to get the test to do it and hit it from the root, because if not, it can lead to so many problems, including health problems. And it's almost like, how do we shift people's mindset? And I know, I mean, we can't save the world. I know we're on a mission, Dave, but we can't. But it's like, how do we, it just, I think making people aware of that, making people aware, it's like we all want to cut the corners. I wanted to cut the corners when I had my dog at the vet this morning and had to pay, $200 just for the, heartworm and flea and tick prevention. But, it's like,
And you look so comfortable on the chair behind you.
I know, right? She's living her best life, right? Like I'm hashtag live life like Maisie.
Well, you know what? So this is what I would tell people, and this is outside of my home inspector background. This is the firefighter background. We bought our house about a year and a half ago, and the township said you have to have smoke detectors. So if you're selling a house, are you going to spend a ton of money, or are you going to buy the little $5 9-volt battery smoke detectors? So they bought them. They worked until about a month and a half ago when every single one of them started chirping, and it's like a cricket in the house. Like you hear the chirp, and you're like, okay, where's it coming from? Then you think you figured it out, and then 5 seconds later, there's a chirp somewhere else in the house. So what did we do? I went over to Lowe's and spent about $500 replacing every single smoke detector in the home, buying brand new extinguishers. And what I do tell my clients, the same thing I would tell them for mold, I tell them, equate it to fire extinguishers. How much is your children's life worth? How much is your 5-year-old's life valued to you? Is it a $5 smoke detector with a 9-volt battery that you're going to pop out the first time it chirps? Or do you want to spend the money on the 10-year lithium battery that's going to do smoke, carbon monoxide, and be wireless to talk to every other smoke detector in the house to make sure you have enough warning to get out of your house if it's on fire? Because I know you keep up with stuff going on, but we just had a major fire in Langhorne the other day that made the news.
Wow.
That was a it was a townhome, two different families. Unfortunately, there were some people hospitalized out of it, but they're going to live. And smoke detectors probably played a valuable role in getting people out. So if you're going to spend the $500 on smoke detectors and fire extinguishers, why would you not spend the money on getting something tested that's affecting your health? And I think the number one reason for that is when we think about things like life safety and health safety. All right, if we're burning something in the kitchen, we can see the smoke, right? If something's on fire, we know we need to go. But when we talk about things like mold and mycotoxin production, especially, and the development of fungus, like I've been in houses where there were actual mushrooms growing on the wall. Like people see that, they're like, oh, we got to get that taken care of. But when we equate it to the fire service, how much can you see carbon monoxide? You can't. It's odorless, it's tasteless, it's invisible, colorless. The same thing goes with mold spores. If we don't see it, it's not really an issue in our mind. But mold and fungus is a silent killer. It's a silent, colorless killer. It has killed people. And we tend not to do things because we can't see it. So we wait until we see the staining on the ceiling in the bathroom, right? Because everybody's got the little brown stain up on their ceiling from not running their fan. Or we see the little black spot in the corner of the basement, and then we freak out about it. But at the same time, people are like, well, it's just in the basement. I can bleach it and be done. And they don't see that it's traveling through every floor of the home at that point. By the time you see it, it's already become a mass production.
I love that you just said that, because that's the same thing in our bodies, right? Like when we have a symptom in our body, whether it's fatigue, hair loss, anxiety, all of the things that we feel, our body is already screaming for help. And that's what I try to tell people. It's not, oh, something that just pops up. By the time you see a symptom, it's because something's already being affected in your body to the point where your body's like, okay, hey, this is my signal, SOS, help me, please. So it's the same, it goes the same. Like we talk about like very different, but very similar.
Yeah. And like when we talk about the body, it's, like, okay, you feel a little fatigued. Well, kids got to go to track. This one's got softball. I'm just running myself ragged. The proverbial, I'm burning the candle at both ends, right? That's why I'm tired. No, there's something else going on that you're that you're this tired. I mean, for me, it was sleep issues for the longest time. 15 years plus, I would get less than 3 hours of sleep a night. And it took going to a specialist that actually analyzed how I sleep to recondition and reprogram my internal clock to the point where I can get, you know, sometimes I get to like 6 or 7 hours a night, which is amazing. But, you know, I just thought for years, I'm like, well, I'm in public safety. Like, I'm a firefighter. It's going to tire me out. That my body's just telling me what I already know. I'm getting old, right? That's our excuse nowadays. Well, I'm getting old. It's supposed to happen. But you're right. It's your body giving you the subtle hints before you need to throw a life raft out.
No, it's absolutely true. And I love that you said it. And I love that you're saying it as a non-healthcare professional, right? Like, I love that you're saying it as just like, you can see it and you in your line of work, you can see it and you see it happening to other people and you see how to fix it from its source too. So it's like, okay, when we do this, this happens. So I love all of this. I think this was such a great, just a great awareness, you know, episode for people. I feel like it's just, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. And it's just something that, like, when you really, you know, you've given people good, you know, tips and advice to roll on from, and, you know, people can take it what it's worth, but, you know, I just encourage people, don't turn a blind eye to something just because you can't see it. You see something, oh, you clean it with bleach, oh, it's gone. It's the same thing dealing with your house and environment and your health and wellness. It's, you know, it's, you've got to get to the root cause of something or you never are going to be healthy.
Exactly. Now, when are we coming up to your house to go take care of your air quality?
Right. You have time today?
I've got time all week for you. Wonderful. You know, I would tell people, you know, number one, you know, if they have you on board as a health professional, that's a bonus because, you know, like I said, most people look at our lab results. And I tell every client, I'm like, when you get the lab result, just call me. I'll explain it. Because it's like you're reading Greek, right?
Yeah.
So you look at all this stuff and, oh my God, there's mold in the house. It's, oh my God, this is horrible. Like, this is, it's not all horrible. A lot of the time it's just normal. But being able to get on the phone with a lab technician that can explain the different levels and being able to get a hold of somebody like you as a health professional, say, okay, you know, out of these 20 things here, okay, I can see where this compares to the outside. Yeah, this is not so bad. But whoa, this level's really off. Let's go over what your symptoms are and let's see if we can pinpoint where this is starting. Which, like you said, it's a matter of finance a lot of times that people don't want to spend. But, you know, would you rather spend the few $100s or do you want to go back and forth to the doctor every other week?
Yeah.
You know, at what point does it become bad enough that, you know, you're like, okay, I gotta take this seriously? And unfortunately. And I'm a prime example of it. You know me well enough to know that, you know, most people would wait until it gets so bad that it affects their daily life before they get it addressed. When months back, they could have started addressing it, found a root cause, and been living a much healthier life.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, just to kind of wrap up, I feel like that's a lot of people's mentality about a lot of things in life. And I don't think sometimes it's a financial aspect. Sometimes it's just, you know, overwhelm, everything going on in life, hustle bustle, and overwhelmed with all the things they have to get done. And it's like, okay, back burner, this isn't relevant today. Let me get the things that are relevant today done. But in the grand scheme of things, I have a patient that I'm working with right now, and you know, she came to me a few months ago and she had some issues. And one of her main complaints was like, I'm really like losing a lot of hair. And, you know, and she was kind of going through the Western medicine. She had a couple specialists line up. She was like, I'm just going to kind of go this, let's put a pin in this and we'll reconvene. And she reached out to me. That was probably June. She reached out to me again at the beginning of September and was like, okay, now 90% of my hair was gone. And when I got on a Zoom with her, 90% of her hair was gone, and amongst other things, but that was the main, like, was okay, what's wrong with me? Like almost like not that she waited, she was trying to address all the other aspects of it. And again, you want a doctor that's, when I work with things with functional, medicine, we look at the labs, we look at specific things, but by trade, I'm a pharmacist. I don't touch and feel people. I do everything virtually. So, I always recommend people going to their doctors to making sure they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's. But it's just wild how, it's almost like people need to kind of hit rock bottom. And I think the message for today is like, don't wait till you hit rock bottom. Get the home inspection, get the functional workup, do the things to keep yourself healthy, because you get one body, you get one brain. And it's a lot easier to be prophylactically taking charge of your health and wellness than waiting until, you're feeling in the gutter and having to scrape yourself up and get back there. So, it's just so important to do these things to be proactive, to be healthy.
And certainly, especially with with your patients, I'm bound by HIPAA also in my healthcare field. But if you have patients or clients that want to get this type of testing done to help determine what's going on, or if it's something that helps you out, you let me know, and we do it on a case by case.
Yeah, I think
Can I, at the very least, when we do an air quality, I've got to be able to test at least two canisters. So it's like you said, like finances, like, all right, do I spend 150? Do I spend $300? Our standard test is $300. It's four canisters. If we do something less, we might get a picture, but it might be the 4x6 picture, not the 8.5x11. We want to get that full picture of what's going on in a home. Can we do less? We can do less. We try not to. We try to do at least, like, the minimum for the standard says it's got to be three canisters. We made it four because we saw the need for it in, this area of southeastern PA. But we'll do what we can for any client. So, when you have a patient, if they're coming back and they've got lab tests that are coming back, like, oh, this is coming back with a high level of this. Okay, well, that's where you can actually, we'll work together and say, okay, well, let me get somebody out there that can do an air quality, or get a duct cleaning out and let's swab the duct work and see where the root cause is. Like you said, I know you said it like 100 times. It's the root cause. How do you get to the root if you're not focused on anything more than the immediate problem, is I guess the best way to put it. The immediate problem is I'm not feeling well.
Yep.
If we don't find out why you're not feeling well, we can't really fix it. We can only put a band-aid on it.
Exactly. And that, as we know, never works. So I'm excited for, especially my local clients that to have you as a resource, because I think a lot of times it's good to have solutions. You don't want to just point out problems without having a solution to it. So
Right.
I will have in the show notes ways to contact Dave, but I also think when I'm working one-on-one with clients too, I think that you need to be part of the program. Like if people are seeing that they're having these mycotoxins, whether it's in their labs or they're just having symptoms, it might be time to give Dave a call to just, to just check things out and see what's going on and solve the problem right from the source.
I think so. Who would have thought? Healthcare and home inspections.
Right? Oh my gosh, mind blown. Well, thank you so much for being on today. Again, everybody, I will have contact. The best way to get in touch with you, Dave, I'm going to put your website up in the show notes, but what's the best way for people to get in touch with you to schedule?
So for people to get a hold of me, they can either call me at 267-718-4475. Or they can go right on to gphomesolutions.com. And lest I forget, because I have a marketing assistant, her number is in there also. If you go to the website, you'll see all of our information in there. They can do online scheduling. We do home safety evaluations also. That's the firefighter background that kind of helps out. But all our contact numbers are in there. And you can email me at david@gphomesolutions.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all of this wonderful information. And I am excited to get this information out to everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me out today.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a 5-star review if anything in this show spoke to you or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.